Ladies and gentlemen, soybeans on my mind still. We've been covering this for a few weeks, but I want to check in on the latest updates with Arlen Suderman, the chief commodities economist at StoneX, today tweeting that soybean export shipments have totaled 72 plus million bushels over this last week, even after the price has increased considerably. They need to average just over 15 million to hit the target. So I'd be really nervous if I were a domestic processor or livestock producer, to which one of the viewers of this broadcast, and thank you, Tur, reached out and said, "So Arlen, on a scale of 1 to 10, just how nervous would you be?" And Arlen responded, and he is chronically understated, I would say, to a fault. But notwithstanding, Arlen still said, "I'd be off the scales. I'd be a 12. Off the scales, panicked about the fact that we have exported to China all of our soybeans, and then some, and no one seems to be paying attention. We're just keeping this going on." Why would he be nervous if he were a livestock producer? Well, because you need those soybeans to feed your animals. And here we can see already the run-up in corn prices over these last few weeks has put pressure, that's one way to say it, on Iowa cow-calf producers. A cow-calf producer in northeast Iowa figures the difference in feed costs between $4 corn and $5 corn is about 20%. So the cost of doing business to these livestock producers has just skyrocketed up 20% due to corn alone in the past few weeks here. There aren't too many ways to mitigate higher feed costs, and worse yet, commodities is never a linear situation. There's always so much stuff thrown in. It's very dynamic. There's substitutions. There's countries limiting their exports and then saying, "Never mind, we're not going to limit it." Just kidding, we are. So you really never know what's going on. It's really a pretty opaque marketplace, especially for those of us who are just trying to feed our families watching all this stuff. But as he points out, when corn goes up, then more farmers will plant corn, which take acres away from hay, which means you need even more feed because there's less hay. So it's kind of an amplification effect there. But the bottom line is, all of this means it's more expensive to feed animals. And that means, bottom line, there will be less meat in the future. Right now, people are dumping their feeder cattle out on the market, which means that calves are cheap. But again, it's going to be less of them in the future. And we've already seen, I've covered previously, that the beef placements to feeder lots had decreased 9%, and our hot breeding herd for swine was down 6%. So again, across the board and consistently now, we're seeing the whittling away of our protein supply. The war on meat continues. Now, what you see in other countries, though, Argentina limited their corn exports. Why? Because of, we read down here, according to the official statement, the objective was to guarantee internal supply for Argentina's domestic animal protein chain. Pork, chicken, eggs, and milk. What happened in the Ukraine? Last week, I covered this article when the Ukrainian Livestock and Poultry Producers Associations asked the government to limit corn exports to avoid a shortage of animal feed. A request that today Ukraine accepted. They said, "That's right, we're going to put a limit on our exports of grains so that we can preserve the supply for our domestic animals, so that we can have meat to feed our people." We also saw Russia imposing export restrictions. So other countries around the world are protecting their food supply. And traders, like here's Jason Britt saying, this is not going to slow down. Everyone around the world is importing soybeans and everything they can get right now. We need to ration demand. In other words, we need to stop China from buying everything we have. It's not that hard to grasp. But of course, we're not right now. And Arlen, in that thread, you see someone else actually goes on to say, if you're in the business of buying soybeans, it's getting pretty touchy. Things are getting risky out there. Here's another analyst, Jerry Welch, who in Agrinews writes that the world has a supply problem. The reason for that grain prices are going through the roof right now is clear as gin. There's an expression I like. The world has a supply problem because global and domestic supplies of soybeans and corn are razor thin. We're running out of grains. He cites the Cargill executive that we quoted before. The soybean market has transitioned into rationing mode as tight global supplies and crop-stressing drought in Argentina have ignited the strongest soy market in years. When a commodity market embarks on a rationing rally, you really can't call the high. There's no telling how high a price can go, especially if you add weather issues into the mix. Just how high do soybean and corn prices have to rise in order to kill off demand to the point where we ain't going to run out? Because you don't ever run out of beans, you just run out of $12 beans, and then you run out of $14 beans, and then maybe you run out of $15, who knows? You can't call the high. Here are some thoughts to consider. Brazil, the world's largest export of soybeans, is buying soybeans in order to keep domestic prices stable. Vietnam, the third largest exporter of rice, is buying rice from India for the first time in decades. Again, because domestic prices were exploding. Argentina suspended corn export sales to conserve domestic supplies. Russia placed duties and limits on wheat and soybeans over domestic food prices. Around the world, countries are protecting their food supply. But not here. Not in the U.S. Nope. And not even as we've already seen our own protein supply go down by orders of magnitude. Here from ProFarmer, frozen pork stocks are down 30% year over year as processing disruptions the coronavirus shutting down the meat plants led to herd culling. We talked about 6% lower breeding stock already. Consumers using more pork at home. And of course, China aggressively importing the meat because they had African swine fever last year and they had to kill off all their pigs. So they were importing a ton of it this year. I mean, they're just importing everything. China is eating out our substance. It is crazy. In the UK, due to Brexit nonsense, they basically are lowering their import standards. So whereas UK had previously had certain restrictions that said we're not going to buy meat from countries that use these kinds of practices, or if it's been bleached with chlorine, we're not going to buy it. Well, due to this lapse in legislation, the government has broken their promise. They've repeatedly vowed not to allow the import of chlorinated chicken, but they didn't get there. They didn't follow through, and they didn't sign those pledges into law. So now, new post-Brexit arrangements for food imports and food standards are going to allow sweeping changes without consultation to food safety. So it's just like what's going on here in the U.S., where in April of 2020, due to coronavirus, the USDA said, "Never mind those labels. You can just substitute ingredients without even labeling it on your label. You don't have to change the label. You can just change from real meat to fake meat or to beans or whatever. It's something that's got protein, that's fine. As long as it's got about the same amount of protein, you can just swap it out without updating the label," which of course caused a lot of alarm with people that have food allergies. How can I even eat stuff and be safe if you won't tell me what's in it? But this is what we're seeing, a systemic reduction in the fidelity, both of the food and the information about the food that we're getting. And so this is going on around the world right now. Why aren't Western countries protecting their food supply? Well, that's a question that we should be asking of our leaders right now. I don't think you're going to get an answer, so the better plan would be to start growing your own food and start raising your own animals. Take a look at what it looks like when you start growing crops to feed your own chickens. I posted a link to the Ice Age Farmer Telegram, which you can join at t.me/iceagefarmer earlier today. It's actually from the Grow Network about how you can grow crops like oats and barley explicitly so that you can feed them to your flock of chickens. Even if they're free-ranging, they're going to need some extra protein so that they can produce eggs for you and your family. You know, you have to consider if we can't get feed at the stores, how do we keep up our own animals? How do we raise our own healthy animals here at home? So all of these are important questions we need to be thinking about right now. And I'll stop there because no one else is protecting our food supply right now. It is now up to you and me to be growing our own food, saving our seeds, and raising animals so that we can feed our families and in turn our communities going forward. That's what a distributed, decentralized model looks like when you think about it for food production. It's, of course, what humans have always done until very recently, with all of these big ag companies taking control over the food supply, and it's what we absolutely must get away from now before they starve us all out. It's not going well for them because it's not sustainable. A huge centralized model, it just doesn't scale like that. That's why it's toxic and poisonous anyway, and we shouldn't be eating that or letting big multinational companies control the genetics on this planet, the seed stock. But even setting that aside, it's just not working. They're not able to get the job done right. And so it falls back now into our hands. How are you helping with the transition back to a decentralized, distributed food system, an emergent one? Because it's going to take all of us working together. And as I just said in the article about seed shortages on the horizon, it's going to take all of us growing food and saving our seeds to avoid these kinds of failures. A third of us raising chickens and laying eggs could put those factory farms out of commission. So we don't even need to pass laws that ban it. We just get rid of them because they're not needed anymore. That's the real way to build the future. Stop legislating and all this nonsense. Just get out of our way. We'll do it ourselves. Thanks for watching, folks. Please share this message. You can find this report and all my reports on iceagefarmer.com. And if you appreciate this broadcast and value this information, help me keep it running. There's a few ways that you can do that listed at iceagefarmer.com/support. And I do very genuinely appreciate everyone who is doing that. So thank you. All right, folks, let's go grow abundant amounts of food, save absurd amounts of really greedy, rich heirloom genetics and seeds, and raise some awesome animals, and let's have fun doing it. I'll see you there. Thanks for watching. Be well.